Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and it's the Wednesday show, and this show is about you. Oh, really? It is about you. So I need you to call in, because you want to hear from dead people, don't you? Your ancestors, maybe some famous people. You want to get a message from your spirit guides, and that's what I'm here to do, is help you. Help you resolve your issues, your problems, get through life, you know, a little coaching, an intuitive life coaching. Yes. I call it performance coaching, life coaching, whatever you want to call it. It's about, okay, what's going on in your life and where do you need some guidance? You know, it's kind of like the Dear Abby, Anne Landers from the spiritual perspective of what can you do? How can you get where you want to get to in life? And that's what we do. That's what spirit likes to do, is help you to raise your vibration to get to a place. And so do your ancestors. They love you. They want to talk to you. They want to help you. They want to see you get to be the most successful person that you ever could be. So I have an article about success. Ooh, success. What a fun thing, huh? Success. It's by Warren Buffett. Well, it's about Warren Buffett. And his key to actually accomplishing a lot in your life. So I thought that was a good place to start the show today. But actually, it's even a better place. Somebody called in and went away. So that's okay. Call in when you want. But what I'm going to do for you, first of all, is yesterday I talked a lot about relationships, and I talked a lot about the masculine and feminine energies and all those dynamics and stuff. But I asked my spirit guides, the Sarah group, why don't you comment on that for me? Why don't you do that for me? So if you're going to hold on, you call back in a few minutes if you mind, because I'm going to channel for a few minutes my spirit group. And they're going to talk about relationships and the dynamics between masculine and feminine and picking somebody in your life. Ooh, or attracting somebody in your life, because that's what they wanted to talk to you about. So if you don't know what channeling is, I go away. I can hear what's going on and what they're saying, but it's not me. Been doing this for about 25 years now, and so, yeah, 25 years, they're about. So channel from time. I like to channel. I like to go away, because then they talk to you, and they give you information, and because they're more blunt than I am, more straightforward. So I'm going to do this for, they'll talk to you for about 5 or 6 minutes, or maybe a little bit longer, and then I'll come back and take some calls, and then we'll take the article by Warren Buffett about achieving success. I thought that was a good thing. How to get success in your life. How to focus to get success. And then if you want to talk to any dead people, we can do that. Or get spirit guides to comment to you directly. So I will do that. So I'm going to go away. I'll be quiet, silent for a while, because I'm going to invite in my spirit guides, the group, to talk to you. They talk with one voice. I don't like multi-voices going on at the same time. Wouldn't work very well, would it? No, absolutely not. Well, this has been a rare opportunity for George to allow us to speak to you directly. You know, he gets our words, and we present words and thoughts and images to him all the time. But he doesn't always allow us to come in and speak to you directly without his, let's say, filtering system or him being in the way. So this is more of a direct way of us talking to you. Okay, so George asked about, and he talked about the dynamics between the masculine and the feminine and all those, you know, psychological aspects and emotional aspects of relationships and how they work. And we had a few thoughts on that, just a few. And it's really about vibration. It's about your vibration. We were explaining it to George that your vibrations need to match with the person that you're with. If you're in a low vibrational place, you're going to attract a very low vibrational person. Now, it could be masculine or feminine. It doesn't really matter what you're attracting, but you're attracting low vibrational people. If you're in a high vibrational place and you're functioning from a high place of compassion, love, forgiveness, kindness, if your attitude is positive, you're going to attract that in your life. Now, in the mass aspect of masculine and feminine, there is a dynamic to there, because when you meet somebody, you normally know if you're connecting with somebody, if you have that chemistry with somebody, if you're really connecting with somebody. And we would say, and as we were telling George this morning, that you have to be really careful not letting your egos get in the way. Your ego expectations of what a person was going to be like. It really is about the chemistry and the vibration between two people, because you're not the one bringing that person into your life. You're not the one doing it. We are. Spirit is doing it. Spirit is bringing people into your life. And then when you feel that chemistry with somebody, it's somebody that has been brought into your life. Now, if your ego gets in the way, that's a whole different story. Okay, well, let's delve into the ego part of it for a minute, and then we won't spend too much time, because I know George had things he wanted to talk about, and people wanted to call into the show and get some advice on certain things, and we give him information that not directly like this. But let's get into what the ego thing means. If you go into expectations or desire to meet somebody for a specific ego reason, you want somebody with money. You want somebody with lots of money. And you meet somebody with lots of money. That's an ego expectation. Now, we're not saying it's not good to have money and it's not good to meet somebody who's financially secure and all that. We're not telling you that. But we're telling you, if you go into meeting somebody, wanting somebody who is purely about money or purely about material things or purely about certain other aspects of your life, that's what you're going to attract. There may not be great chemistry there. Your chemistry is built on a false premise. And the false premise is, I need money and I'm going to meet somebody who has money and that's all there is to it. Or if a guy could say, well, I'm going to meet somebody who's very glamorous and beautiful and an amazingly beautiful woman who is very sexual. That's what I want. Now, it's not wrong. There's no wrong in this. But is there chemistry? Is there chemistry there? Is there chemistry? That's the question we would have for you. Is there chemistry there? What is the vibration between two people? So we were kind of talking about this with George and kind of explaining some things. When people get into relationships based on this false premise of the ego attraction and ego needs in a relationship, and there may be some chemistry. There may be some, but it's not a dynamic amount of chemistry between two people, and the vibrations are off and they're not the same. The relationship doesn't work out. It may work out for a few months. It may work out even for a couple of years, but there's no glue in this relationship. There's no chemistry in this relationship. There is no developing of the best friend in this relationship. Because it's all based on a false notion that if I have this, my life will be good. If I have that, my life will be good. So see where we're coming from? Now, the masculine feminine part is really kind of an interesting thing. If the masculine and feminine parts are working together, and we described it as a person who plays the piano, left hand, right hand, if they're both playing together, the same chords, the same harmony, the same notes, similar notes, but in different octave ranges, then you have a very harmonic situation. But you could describe that as the masculine, feminine, the right hand being the masculine, the left hand being the feminine. It doesn't matter what gender or what sexuality, it's just the left and the right. But if they're playing together and they're making beautiful music, then you have your chemistry. Then you have the masculine and feminine balance. And that's how we describe it. And so think about it. When you're in a relationship, is there a balance? Is your energies balancing each other? Are you the differences balancing each other? and the masculine, the feminine, and the vibrate. Oh, we're making this more complicated than it really should be, because it's really about, when you meet somebody, is there great chemistry? Do you develop a friendship? Do you develop a romantic interest in each other? Does it just feels right to be with this person? And not for the false reasons, not for the reasons of money or success or sexuality per se, but it's about the chemistry, the vibration between two people. So that's all we have to say on the subject. And so when you go out looking for a relationship, you can almost close your eyes. You can almost close your eyes. You can be in a room of people and close your eyes and walk around, and you can feel the person that you connect with. Do that as a game. Try that. Go to a place where there's a lot of people of the opposite gender that you're looking for, or the opposite sexual people that you may be attracted to, and just close your eyes and see who you feel, and go with your feelings, surprised. Because that way you're not letting the ego get in the way. The expectations of something that may not be what you really, really need, and your soul is reaching out to somebody through your emotions to somebody that you really would be good for you in your life. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Have a beautiful day. It's been fun being able to talk to you. We should do this more often if George will let us talk to you. So thank you. Bye. Okay, I'm back, I think. I don't know. Am I back? I don't know. It takes me a minute to get back into – I heard what they said, and I don't remember what they say. I really don't. I, a friend of mine said, well, you should record all these, and I used to record some things, but okay, but that was fun. They made an interesting point about relationships and the masculine and feminine, and they really talked about that yesterday to me a little bit about in relationships, why don't relationships work? Because you don't have that chemistry. You don't have that masculine, feminine connection, for one thing. So I'll take a call. You've been holding for a while. You've been listening to my spirit group talk to you about it. It felt like it was more of a masculine energy coming through today. Sometimes it feels softer and it's more of a feminine. So it must have been one of the spirit teachers with more of a masculine presentation of themselves today, and whoever that was, I don't know. It's part of a group, and they come in and out of the group all the time. Could be Sigmund Freud. No, Freud's not in the group. Carl Jung's in the group. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah. So let me take a call. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, George.
Oh, you're welcome. And whom am I speaking to?
This is Miranda.
Miranda. How is Miranda today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So,
you are?
I had a particular... Yes, I am. Why do you sound so surprised?
No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, because, you know, usually people call into this sort of thing, well, I got all the problems in the world and my life is just miserable and I need some help, right? No, you don't need help.
You got to stay positive. So, I mean, I'd love a message from Spirit, but I did have a particular work question in mind, but maybe they could shed light on that or...
What's your work question?
Well, I'm just exploring two work opportunities, and recently one I'm just reconsidering and wondering if it's going to be a good fit or not. But I'm wondering, I don't want ego or fear to be in the way of my decision, so I'm just wondering if spirit guidance will come and help me and figure it out, or any other message.
Okay, well, that's... So you have to make a decision, basically, is what you're saying, in the near future, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to back to what they keep yelling at me, saying, you know what, she really needs to go with her intuition and her feelings and not let her ego get in the way, because that's what they were talking about a few minutes ago. So
right.
what job feels better to you?
I think they both have pros and cons, just basically because of the nature
Let me ask you this, because this is what I'm kind of hearing the question is for you. You've been to both locations, right?
Yes.
Job site. Mm-hmm. Where you would be working. Both places where you would be working, right?
Yeah.
taking into consideration the fact that you've been in both environments, which environment feels better to you?
Yes, I've thought about that. I definitely have. I'm more drawn to one than the other. But again, like
okay.
I was just wondering, is am I ruling
That's
one out because of fear, or
no.
or is it, yeah,
no,
or is it really my intuition guiding me? Yeah.
Yeah, it is your intuition. If you feel better about an environment, if it just feels right or feels
yeah.
a lot better, then you're making a choice. Now, it also has to be the people there too, right?
Right.
It has to be the people you met, the potential employers, right?
Right. And I haven't met everyone, so I'm not fully armed with all the information. Yeah.
But did you meet your direct supervisor?
Sort of. Yeah.
Well, that's really important to making a decision,
yeah.
right? That's really important.
Right.
And it's not just that person, but I hear it as you need also to meet the person that's just above that person.
Right.
Because those two people will interact with you more than anyone, right? In some level.
Correct.
And so you need to feel comfortable with their management style. So you're really, it's not them choosing you. You choose them based on what you feel is going to be the best environment for you, where
Absolutely.
You can be the most productive for you. So if you feel like you're with people, and we're back to the word feel here, and that's really important because what they keep emphasizing is feel. How do you feel about working with somebody or communicating with somebody? Is it easy? I mean, we're talking supervisor and, you know, manager and manager above manager. How does the communication between you and those people? Because if you get into a situation where you're with somebody and they're managing you and you're just not comfortable with the person, you may like the job, you may like what you do, but you're not comfortable with a manager above you, it's doomed. It's pretty doomed,
right.
isn't it? Because after a while, you're just going to go, oh, I can't deal with this person anymore, and I can't deal with this. I like what I do, but I don't like the people. So first of all, you have to like what you do, or you wouldn't be doing the job. And then second of all, you have to really connect with the people that would be above you. I mean, it's important to connect with the people that would be working with you, your peers. But if you have a good relationship with your supervisor, your manager, you can work out the details with the peers. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
if
yeah.
you have, I don't know why I'm giving you all this. I'm just going on and on because they're just yelling at me saying, okay, if you have a trust relationship with your boss, the person above you and the person above that and upper management or whatever, if you have a really good trust relationship, all those other issues can be worked out. Okay.
Right.
So,
yep.
So it really is about your feelings and how you feel about the people that you're working with. You're working for, I should say. I don't know if that answered your question at all, but it really, you should go back and really have another meeting.
Yeah. As I said, I haven't met everyone.
You don't need to meet
yet.
Everyone. You don't
yeah.
have to meet everyone. You just
yeah,
meet
yeah.
the person who could be managing you
right.
and the person above that. Here's the other one. I like this. You also need to meet the gatekeepers. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean by gatekeeper? Who is your boss's secretary? Who keeps,
oh,
who
okay.
keeps, who's the gatekeeper for your boss? You know what
okay.
I mean by that?
Yeah.
Because
I
if you, if you don't have a good rapport with that person, it's going to make your life miserable.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, that's true. That's very true.
So just meeting those particular people in the chain will help you to go, yeah, this is where I should be. Okay?
Sounds good. Any messages
okay?
coming forth? Any other messages
that's
from
your,
my guys?
That's your message. That's what they're telling you, dear. That's what they're telling you. You know, I mean,
I thought that was your coaching, not my guys, but your own personal coaching.
When I use the word intuitive coaching, I'm listening to spirit and they're just rattling on about what they want me to tell you. That's what it means by an intuitive coach. It's not just, oh, I spent this and I have a master's degree and blah, blah, blah. No, it's about, okay, spirit wants to give you this information. Now, I do have a business background, but they can pick at my business background and give you information based on what I've learned.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
they can look into my little library in my head and my history, or they can call on some famous Dr. Drucker, if you know who that is, and go, okay, he has some ideas for you. Mm-hmm. You don't know who Dr. Drucker is, do you? That's all right.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. Who is
or Dr.
Drucker?
Deming. Dr. Drucker was the director of the Claremont University, California School of Management. He's one of the most famous, let's say, business gurus in the last century, basically.
Oh wow!
He was considered one of the one of the great teachers in how to run a business and how to manage a business and how to manage people. So that's one of those people that I used to read a lot of his books, and him and Dr. Deming, who was the father of the modern industrial systems, who taught the Japanese how to, after World War II, how to beat the Americans in quality control. An American went to Japan to teach the Japanese how to beat the Americans in quality control and manufacturing. Interesting stories.
Wow. Yeah, that is.
A lot of the companies like Ford wouldn't listen to him. Finally, to after they got beat up by the Japanese automobile industry, they'd silently, okay, maybe we should listen to him now.
Yes, definitely.
So if you're any kind of a business guru kind of person, if you're into that sort of thing, it's kind of interesting history of business management. Okay, I'll let you go. I'm going off on a whole different tangent here, but have fun. You'll make a right choice. You know you'll make the right. You'll make the right choice.
Yes. Yeah, I believe I will.
You
I
will.
Just, I
okay.
Just, yeah. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
You will. Bye now. I mean, I could get into the whole of the business. I was like really big in the 1980s into reading all these things about from these business gurus. And about passion in business and quality control and, you know, a passion for excellence and excellent running companies and how they've designed and how they ran. Now, things have changed since the 80s. Businesses have shifted and changed a little bit. And I know I'm going off at a whole different tangent here, and I don't mean to do that completely. But it's a fascinating how that profit motive, well, it's changed. Dynamics in corporate America have changed somewhat in the last 30 years, and I haven't really kept up with a lot of it. But back then, 30 years ago, it was a different dynamic. It was about passion for excellence, and a lot of companies still follow through. And the passion for excellence was all the way down the chain, from management to employees to vendors to customers. And it was the purpose of business to keep everybody in the loop and seek the win-win-win situation with the employees, with the vendors, with the customers. And that was the ultimate goal. And it should be still the ultimate goal in business, is that it should be a win-win-win situation where everybody wins in a business situation. Okay, enough for business stuff. I'm off on a whole different tangent here. I'm talking about business stuff. Anybody want to call in if you want to hear from some dead people, your ancestors, or if you want to hear from a spirit guide? Yeah, we'll do that. But I wanted to do this article because I thought this was a really cool article. And it was by Jenny Marshall. She's a freelance writer. And it's Warren Buffett says most people end up being average because they don't keep this list. And I was reading this, and I'm going, yeah, this is a great idea. So this article and this discussion from Warren Buffett, it came about from Warren Buffett actually spending time with his personal pilot. I would like to have a personal pilot. Wouldn't that be kind of cool to have your own pilot? Okay, so Warren tells the story of involving his personal airline pilot for over 10 years, Mike Flint, and how Warren Buffett helped him to focus and prioritize his goals using a to-list strategy. Now, I posted this on Facebook if you're interested in reading this, but I don't care what you're doing in life. I don't care what kind of business you're in or non-business you're in or dealing with families or dealing with your neighbors or whatever you're dealing with. This is great ideas. So Buffett asked Flint to carefully think about and write down his 25 top career goals. Now, you could think of other goals. I mean, life goals or career goals, whatever they are. You know, my goal is to go to Tibet, right? Okay, whatever. Just write down 25 goals and career goals specifically for this article. Once Flint spent time doing this, he came back and presented them to Buffett. Then he asked Flint to pick out 5 most important goals. Okay, so you got your list of 25 goals, of, you know, whatever goals you're going to put on the list, right? And these were specific career goals if you want to go there. But you could tweak this to life goals, right? Life goals, whatever they are. So at this point, Flint now had 2 separate goal lists, okay? The list of 5 goals and the list of 20 remaining goals. Like many of us, Flint concluded that he would focus primarily on his top 5, work towards the other 20 as he would find time. However, Buffett stopped him and said, this is actually the path of becoming unsuccessful. Do you understand what he's saying there? The Flint said, oh, if I work on the top 5 and then when I have time for the 20, I'll get to the 20, right? I'll focus on these. But Warren Buffett says, no, that's actually the path of becoming unsuccessful, because really he should throw away the list of his 20 altogether. So you've made this list and you've narrowed it down from 20 to 5, and you take the 20. Now you got the 2 separate lists. You got the 5 and the 20. Now, I don't know if you guys are into this at all or finding this fascinating, but I found it very fascinating. I thought I would share this with you because, you know what, as Warren Buffett says, you want to get above average. This is like the wealthiest man in America, but also very successful in a lot of other ways and very good at what he does. You know, you don't become the richest man in America with ethics and without some kind of focus. So however Buffett stopped him said, okay, throw away the list of 20 altogether, no matter how important many of them may be, and focus solely on the top 5. Why? Because the list of 20 is essentially a distraction. So the comment in the article, and go on a little bit in the article, average people don't know that they should avoid seemingly important things in their life. The reason we often never succeed with our goals is because we don't prioritize focus and therefore complete the important few. It's human to get demoralized and demotivated and distracted. So think about this. Think about your lists. Write down your top 25 lists of things that you – goals. And it could be career goals or life goals or whatever you want to do with it. And then try this procedure and then narrow that down to 5. These are 5 things. Now, in a year or two, you might want to redo this and your list may change in a couple of years. But for right now, you got 5. 5 things. 5 career life goals that you want to achieve. And you need to check those off. And when you're done checking that off, you might want to drag and go back. Now, things change in your life too, right? Because in a couple of years or whatever times it takes to complete the 5, your situation may have shifted. And now you have to redo the 20, the 25, and then create a new 5 and throw the rest away. I'm thinking about this and I'm going, yeah, but you know what? We do that all the time, don't we? Don't we do that all the time? Don't we don't focus on what's the most important in our life. We get distracted easily. I see I have a caller and I'll be with you in a minute. From a spiritual and whatever aspect, because I look at people and I've known a lot of people in the metaphysical world and the spiritual world and the teachers and the so forth and so on. And I see a lot of business cards. And I look at these business cards or I look at people's websites, and they have a whole litany of things they do. A whole litany. They may have like 10 different things that they do. And if you go by Warren Buffett's principle here, narrow it down to 1. Do 1 thing really, really, really well. Focus on 1 thing that you do really, really well and stay with that 1 thing. Does that make sense at all to you guys? don't have a litany, don't have a whole thing, a bunch of letters behind your name or a whole list of things that you do on your website. If you're an artist, be an artist. It doesn't mean that you can't do different types of art, but be an artist. If you're a teacher, be a teacher. Okay? If you're a mechanic, be a mechanic. Do that one thing really, really well. It doesn't mean you can't work on different kinds of cars. It doesn't mean you can't create different kinds of art. You know, but focus on one thing. Teach. If you're a healer, be a healer. Specifically work on one aspect of healing that you're really good at and stay with that till you're successful. Now, I've been scattered. I know. I agree. I admit that I'm one who, well, I can try all these different modalities and do all these different things. But then I can look back on certain time periods in my life and go, that didn't get me anywhere, did it? That didn't get me. That didn't get me what I wanted. That didn't give me the success. So think about that. Do that one thing really, really well. And when you get tired of that one thing, you know, and you've accomplished all you want in that area of your life, pick another one thing and stay with that for a while until you feel like you've accomplished everything you're accomplishing in your life. And life will be more successful. It's like the Warren Buffett thing about narrowing down your goals to that five things that you want to achieve in life. And forget about the 20 others. Don't get distracted. We get distracted easily as people, right? Especially now. It's so easy to get distracted. I got a caller. I'll take a call. Sorry, I'm just kind of rattling on and on. Spirit directs me to rattle on and on about this sort of thing. So focus. I guess the word is focus, really. Figure out what's most valuable to you. What's that one thing? And do it. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi there. How you doing?
Fine. So what's your one thing?
My one thing? Well, first of all, I've been listening for a while now. Pretty good topic so far, and thanks for all the info thus far. My one thing, well, I get a lot of things, probably like a lot of people.
Well, anyway, now we got to narrow it down there. I'm not going to hear to go through all your things. So what's your question before we go? It feels like you have to focus on that yourself. So what's your question today? What do you want Spirit to say to you? Maybe your great grandmother will have to say to you today, sort of thing.
That if I'm on the right track, you know, there's a lot going on with myself and, you know, where I'm at, and I'm just in a really confused sort of a bad financial state.
You got a lot going on here that we can't cover in 2 minutes. So we're going to have to just kind of. So it really is something that you have to work through. But let's go back to that whole thing. What is your goal? What is your ultimate goal in all that? I mean, you have one goal. What is it?
It's to be financially stable. And I was for a long time.
Do you know what that looks like? Okay, let me ask you a question. We're going to use a little bit of the law of attraction principles here.
Okay.
Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what it feels like?
Yes.
No, don't think about it. It's not a thought process. It's a feeling process. What does it feel like to be financially stable?
Oh, it feels just happy and free, and there's not
okay.
a worry.
So,
and there's no judgment.
So can you do that principle in the sense of fake it till you make it? Can you feel that way as you're working that direction? Can you get yourself emotionally into a high place? So instead of being negative and, oh, bummer, life is a drag, oh, I feel so bad about myself all the time, can you get yourself, find your way to feeling good and have that goal and feel good about that goal? Because it's not going to happen overnight, obviously. Somebody's not going to drop off $1 million on your porch, most likely not. I mean, obviously.
No, I get that.
So,
all
right. Can you get to feeling good? However you do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I usually do that, and I always give thanks every day, right, for things that I have and things I don't have, and I stay in a pretty positive area, but it's when things just constantly are getting shut off around you.
Well, then you have to pivot. Okay. Now, I could get into all this, and we don't have time for all this, but, you know, because this is kind of, it gets kind of complicated in the sense of, in your case and a lot of other cases, it's about your belief system. What's your personal belief system? Okay. And what do you believe about yourself? And you have to look at your own personal beliefs about yourself. And you might want to just do the exercise of sitting down. This is what I believe about myself, and then write it out and keep writing it out. This is what I believe about myself. And or this is what I believe about money, or this is what I believe about success. And you kind of do that over and over again. And you're going to find out that your belief system is limiting you from getting what you want. For some reason, you sabotage yourself because your belief somewhere along the line as a child or getting older, you decided that, oh, I don't want to, I'm a loser, or I'm this, or I'm that, or your parents told you you'll never reach anything, achieve anything in your life, blah, blah, blah. So you have to evaluate your belief system and change it. And you can shift it and you can change it. Okay. But it's okay. About your beliefs. It really is about your beliefs, because everything springs from what's internally, what's going on in our subconscious mind about our belief about ourselves. And so we sabotage and we doubt because, well, you know what? I don't know. Okay, so think about that. I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but you might want to get somebody to coach you or help you to work through or read some books on the law of attraction and principles about your beliefs and how to change your beliefs. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. When we get into a negative state, and it's so easy to stay in the negative state because it's the principle of the law of attraction. Once you get into a low vibrational place, you're going to start attracting low vibrational things. I mean, it's obvious, right? I think you accept that, don't you? And so you have to pull yourself out of that. You have to start reaching for things that feel better, start doing things that feel better in your life. You start setting goals, like we talked about goals. Set a goal. Set a little goal. Don't set big goals, huge goals at start. Well, I'm financially, I owe $50,000. That's a big goal, right? And I'm only making $2,000 a month. Ooh. Okay. Ooh. So what's your goal? Your goal is to find a way out of that. Your goal is to find a path to get you from the debt eliminated. So you have to be open then to the universe to show you a way out, a pathway out of that. And the universe will provide it, but you have to be positive, knowing that you're going to get. So it's like what I talk about all the time. You have to get into solution mode instead of problem mode. And I should have told him that. But when you sit there and think about your problem, I owe $50,000. I only make $2,000 a month. Woe is me. I got all these problems. What am I going to do with my life? That's problem mode. Solution mode is I'm turning it over. I'm going to find something really good to do in my life and something fun to do and something that I enjoy doing. And I'm going to let the universe bring me solutions. The universe will bring me, God, source, whatever you call it, will bring me solutions. I'm just going to get out of sitting in my problem, you know, with sackcloth and ashes over my head going, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And then you have to listen to the solutions. You have to listen to the solutions. The universe will bring you solutions, but you have to pay attention. You have to be aware of that. And that's why you get into this positive energy place and you get into this high vibrational place. You're going to get solutions and you're going to hear them. And then you have to have action. Once you get a solution, you have to start taking action. And how do you know if it's the right solution? Well, how does it feel? Well, I spent a lot of time on this today, haven't I? Well, we had fun. I had fun. So I'm not sure if there's anything else I can do for 5 minutes other than just chat with you about whatever's going on. I won't use that article. Let's see if there's another article. Okay, let me do this. Feeling, this is kind of on the same thing, and it's kind of related to it. It's about if you're down in the dumps and your things, life is, you know, you owe the $50,000 and you're making. So feeling burnout, six ways to treat yourself right now. So six ways to kind of get your energy into moving into a better direction. I knew I picked this article for a reason, right? You know, okay, the universe picked the article. Number one, go for a walk in the morning. Yes. Some may view rest or sitting down as a real form of self-care. But as someone who works from home in a tight space, and the article is by, and I should give you the name of the writer. This is from Mind Body Green, and Rachel Manfield and is the writer. And I don't know Rachel's background. Let me see what he's thinking about. Okay, so she's a writer. Basically, she's a writer. She's into fitness. Okay, but I'm just taking these examples, and you could do it. And it's a good way to get started in the morning, and you get out in nature. After breakfast each morning, I head outside, walk along the water. Now, if you're in nature, this is really cool. But put some music on. Put some uplifting, positive music on. And go for a walk. And she mentions calling, like, somebody, but I would, I would not the phone calls. This is not the time for phone calls. Just the fresh air, just getting out there, walking, getting inspirational music. Do a little dance walk, okay? She suggests taking vitamins. Aha, something, you know, and you could either go to your doctor and get a checkup and find out where you may be lacking certain things, but that's up to you. Some people don't like vitamins. I would suggest maybe instead of the vitamins in the morning, have a juice. Get your blender out and make a juice that works for you. Get something that kind of pumps you up in the morning. Get some, you need a balance of carbohydrates and protein, so something that would balance you out. The next one. This is really uplifting. This is really kind of fun stuff, okay? Keep fresh flowers in your place, your house, your apartment. Buy fresh flowers because they bring up a new energy. Our houseplants. Make sure you have houseplants and take care of your houseplants and water your houseplants and, you know, feed your houseplants. They change the environment. They change the energy around you. They give you more oxygen to feel better about yourself. Okay? Do that. So flowers, houseplants, and it's the colors, you know, and certain colors are really vibrant colors are really good for getting your energy up in the morning. So if you have a lot of reds and oranges and yellows around you, you know, the dark greens and some other colors are kind of soothing and they're healing. But if you want to get charged up and you want to get going and you want to feel better and you get those bright colors, you know, or the other thing I hear is, if you're feeling kind of down, change your outfit. No dressing in black. Oh, black. I'm going to wear black and gray today. I'm down. No, put some orange on. Put some yellow on. Put some bright colors on. Get some brightness in your life. That'll pump you up, make you feel a little better, get you going in the morning. So get that bright yellow jogging suit out in the morning and go out, right? What do you think? I mean, you guys are like, what is he talking about now? But it's about moving your vibration and moving your energy up. And so vibrant colors in the morning. Oh, I'm almost out of town. And then the next one she mentions, there's a couple more. And I thought one, sit down for lunch in the middle of the day. Just take some time for lunch. Have a nice lunch. Just, you know. Take some time. Don't gobble down your food and run off. No, just take some time, enjoy it. And she said, treat yourself. Have a dessert once in a while. Don't completely sacrifice. And that last comment, and I'm not too familiar how this works, but she's put your phone into airplane mode, your cell phone in airplane mode at night. So you're not being bugged all the time at night after, you know, when you want to relax in the evening, put your phone in airplane mode instead of regular mode, and then you're not as distracted and you can actually relax. Okay, this has been fun. I had a good time today. Oh, I'm sorry I can't take any calls. I will be back on Friday. We'll not be here tomorrow, but I'll be back on Friday if you want to call in. We'll have some fun. We'll probably do the same stuff tomorrow. Friday, not tomorrow, won't be here tomorrow. Friday, we'll talk to dead people, and we'll get some messages from spirit guides. And, yeah, maybe I should let them channel more through me because I know spirit loves to do that. They love to present information in the channeling form. And I kind of get to go away for a couple of minutes and let them talk. So I love you guys. Have a great day, and bye for now.